Friends, if you would, you know that I shared with you last week that we're starting a series in Proverbs. And so I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to be in the first 9 verses in particular today. I do have, there it is, all right. I have command of a clicker today. We're going to do our best with that. So you have in your bulletins an outline, and so you can make use of that as you see fit. Friends, allow me to begin by reading this text, and then we'll pray over it for ourselves, and then we will investigate this text. Hear the word of the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. It is for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise also add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. For these will be a garland to grace your head and a chain or a necklace to adorn your neck. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you for this book. Lord, I pray that as we investigate it, that you would teach us so that we, as your sons and daughters, learn how to live well. Lord Jesus, that we would be different than the way that we came because we have encountered your person, for you are the living God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, the book of Proverbs. You know that the book of Proverbs is unique than any other book. It's unique in some ways because it's divided in the first, you have the first 9 chapters, and then you have 10 through the rest of the book. And most of us have experienced the first couple of chapters, because there's verses there that we memorize, right? For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We know this one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You guys know these. And then we get, and so you know the early chapters of Proverbs. And then we get to the second, not so much half, but the second part of the book. And it's just these sayings, one after the other. And you read them and you're like, man, we read it faster than we understand it. That's just true. And so we come to the second half of the book and we're reading these Proverbs. And because, especially if we're on a reading program of some kind, we're reading all of these Proverbs and we really don't yet know how those Proverbs apply to our life. Maybe some of them we go, I think this is what this means. Or, I think I've experienced that. I would like to, in this series, to shape a way to read the book of Proverbs so that it becomes this journey that we live in. And so I want to, first of all, I want to convince you that wisdom is evangelism. In verse 20 and 21, it says that wisdom calls out in the streets. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Wisdom is evangelism. And let me present why I think this. Wisdom is an outcome-based book. It is concerned about what works. It wants to answer the question of functionality. And so when we read the book of Proverbs, we read it as a book that has made observations about the way that life works, generally speaking. And so it's a book that helps us to grapple with life's consequences. And so when we read it, we should read it with an understanding that it's going to present a way of life that generally works, and it works well. And so as we read these Proverbs, we shouldn't be surprised to see how the observations that are made, we go, man, that makes sense. Or I've seen that work. That is the way that life works. And so Proverbs is an anthology. And you go, wait, whoa, what you talking about? An anthology is a way of talking about a compilation of material. And so the book of Proverbs in and of itself is not all written by Solomon. The book tells us that. We have the sayings of Agur, we have sayings of Lemuel, and they are a collection of wise sayings. I heard one pastor, I think, helpfully describe the book of Proverbs as the junk drawer of wise sayings. And so dating clear back to like 1200 BCE, you have Egyptian wise sayings that Solomon probably incorporated, said, man, that's true. That's what I've observed as well. And so adopts those. And then we know that Solomon himself was declared as wise because God gave him wisdom that he wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. And they were just shoved into this junk drawer and say, man, that's true. That's really good. Hey, put it in the drawer so that when we need it, we can pull it out. And so as history went on, you had these sayings that at some point in time they said, man, we've got all of these sayings and they're sporadic and they're all over the place. We've got to organize these in some way that makes sense or that is structured. And so we see historically that Proverbs was then compiled to communicate a way in which life works or how life generally functions. To say it differently, it's a well-ordered life. And so this book is helping us to grapple with how should I order my life well? And so when we read the Proverbs, it intends to do that. So how is it evangelism? Well, if we're going to live this wise life, is this not secret wisdom? It's not as though it's kept somewhere else and you have to do something special in order to get it. No, that wisdom has made herself available to all who would listen. And so we don't have to be like, oh man, if I were more special, you know, if only I had the right kind of access, then I could live the wise life. No. Wisdom has made herself available. She is crying aloud in the streets. And this is good news. In order to live the good life or the wise life, it's not as though you need something special. It's that wisdom is declaring the good news that she has made herself available to those who will listen and pay attention. I want you to take note of here, this is a tablet that's called Winged Victory. And if you noticed in the ninth verse, it says, this will be a garland of grace around your neck or a wreath, as some translators. Cam, you told me that I have. Oh, here it is. Ah, do you see this right here? I need you to answer that. Do you see this? Yeah, all right. That is the garland of grace. And so you have this representative or an angel that is recognizing someone who deserves a garland of grace. Well, what is this garland of grace? I think the best parallel example would be like the Nobel Peace Prize. So a Nobel Peace Prize, Alfred Nobel made this declaration, and if you go to their website, you'll see his quote there, for the greatest good for humanity. So winged victory is bringing this garland of grace that recognizes that the recipient of it has brought public blessing to the community. And so it would be one who has, like someone who would receive the Nobel Peace Prize, that they have brought public blessing to the nth degree. This is actually how the book of Proverbs ends. Did you know that? So the book of Proverbs ends with this declaration that this virtuous woman, or really, I think, the outline of Lady Wisdom there in Proverbs 31, the very last verse, Proverbs 31:31, says that we should praise the work of her hands. Or, as the NLT translates it, that she has brought public benefit. And so she is praiseworthy because what she brings to the community is public benefit, aka blessing. So everything that is representative of Lady Wisdom is that she blesses those that are around her. She blesses the community. She blesses those that beyond herself. And so Proverbs is this book in which we're introduced to Lady Wisdom, and she's evangelistic. She is sharing the good news of what she has to offer. And what she has to offer is a life that will teach us how to be a blessing, not just to receive blessing, but to be a blessing to all those that are around us. Does that make sense? And so right from the very beginning of this book is we're being introduced to Lady Wisdom, and she tells us the benefit of receiving her. For she has and will provide for us through her life a garland of grace, or that we would be a public benefit, bring blessing to the community. And so wisdom will teach us the good, the beautiful, and the honorable life. Wisdom is personified, as you've heard me say, using pronouns like herself, that wisdom, particularly in the first 9 chapters, is personified as a woman. Well, this is strategic, that a woman is personified as a good guide, that this wisdom, Lady Wisdom, she is a guide that is helping us to understand the journey that we're on and the consequences of the path that we take. It's interesting that Lady Wisdom not only sets us on a straight path, but that she warns us of the crooked path, which is woman folly's path, that we don't see where we're going, that we stumble and fall. And so Lady Wisdom, she is a good guide. What makes her such a good guide is because she can communicate to us the consequences of the path that we're on. That's really helpful. So one of the things that I do as a parent is to remind my children, particularly when I don't like the path that they are on, is to, I say this line more often than I would like, is to say, you can make that decision, but I don't think you'll like the consequences. Lady Wisdom does that. She will say to those who will listen, this is the path that you are on, and these are the consequences of walking down this path. So you may not like the consequence, or you may very well like the consequence. So she is a good guide because she knows and communicates the consequences of the path. Hey, that's really helpful when we're making decisions, isn't it? So sometimes, just in the practice of life, probably all of us have done this. You have a decision to make, and you're not sure what decision to make. So you sit down, and you write out the pros and the cons. Now, even in that, sometimes we don't understand the consequences of the choice that we make. So Lady Wisdom, what she does is she is able to see beyond where we can to see the consequences of this decision are this. And so that's really helpful for us. And she is a good guide for us. So when we come in and we approach the book of Proverbs, we come into this book and we need to ready ourselves to listen to Lady Wisdom because she will help us to understand the consequences of life. Boy, if I knew all the consequences, man, that would really help the decisions that I make, right? Man, I was sharing with somebody earlier this week that we live in a time, friends, that we want life without consequences. I mean, you look at our world. Man, we want to say words without experiencing the consequences of saying the words that we've said. We want to make choices without the consequences of the choices that we make. Man, we live in a time in which we have abandoned the reality that even if you say you don't want consequences, there are consequences. Life is full of choices, and those choices have consequences. So when we come to Proverbs, the great news is that she is evangelizing us. She is teaching us. She's crying out to us to say, will you listen to me? Because I'm helping you to understand consequences. And if you understand consequences, then you will walk in a wise way. Or at least you have a better chance of walking in a wise way. We can still reject wisdom. But if we come to the book and we say, you know what? Lady Wisdom's a good guide. I'm going to listen and pay attention what she has to say. Lady Wisdom is a beautiful bride. This is a wonderful truth in the book of Proverbs, that we are intended to read the book of Proverbs and to be attracted to Lady Wisdom. That what she brings is that which is beautiful, that which is attractive, that we're drawn to her. This is every woman's desire. It's to be beautiful and attractive and pursued. Yes, ladies, as a man, I cannot speak to this, but I believe that that is true. And guys, we have in our nature to be drawn to that which is beautiful and attractive. And we have it in our hearts to pursue that. And so Lady Wisdom is presented as that which is beautiful and attractive and alluring. And so this is something that if you are a young woman or an old woman or somewhere in between, is to say, I want to live as wisdom, because wisdom is beautiful and attractive and alluring. And for young men and old men and those that are in between, is to pursue that which is good, beautiful, attractive, alluring. And that's what wisdom is. And so we shouldn't be surprised that this book is presented in such a way that not only is it a good guide that helps us to understand consequences, but that it's a beautiful bride that is alluring, and it draws us into a relationship with Lady Wisdom. And we're going to see that played out as well. And then wisdom is also personified as a woman, that she is an honorable homemaker. We see this get expressed particularly in the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She's an honorable homemaker. She brings well-being to the home. And the way in which she does that, and this is communicated in Proverbs 31, is that she has ordered the home well. Friends, if you want to have a meeting with me, the best way to do that is to not come to me and set up a meeting. It's actually to go to my wife and set up a meeting. So I come into the week, or I end the week, and I say, babe, this is what I want to accomplish this week, and you make it work. And so I open up my phone on Monday, and I click my calendar button, and it tells me what I'm going to do that day. That is extremely strategic for me. And I share this with you because Riz has well ordered my life. When Riz and I were first dating, I had a horrible tendency. I like people, and I like to spend time with people. And sometimes when I spend time with people, I put meetings too close together, and they overlap, and then I'm late, or I have set a meeting, and then I meet somebody else, and then we're like, hey, let's go do this. This sounds like a lot of fun. And I unintentionally miss a meeting. This drove Riz crazy. Thankfully, she still decided to marry me. But one of the great benefits of my life is she said, you will not operate this way. Right? You will not double book. You will not miss appointments because you got lost in whatever you're doing. And so she has for years, thankfully, ordered my life so that I actually do the things that I'm supposed to do. It's a wonderful gift to me. I laughed last week. I was in Sunday school class, and Tim was knowing that it's family camp. Tim's like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be here. Sue, am I going to be here this next week? I was like, I totally get that. That's a risk for me. Yeah, she orders my life. Lady Wisdom is an honorable homemaker. Why? Because she orders our life well. So for me, Riz orders my life well so that the things that I want to accomplish actually get done. Well, Lady Wisdom is that, except on a grander scale. Lady Wisdom orders our life in such a way that we live not just accomplishing the things that we want to get done. So I tell Riz, these are the things that I want to get done. She orders my life so that those things can get done. Lady Wisdom, what she does is she orders our life so that what God wants to get done gets done. Woo! That changes the game. So she's a good guide because she helps us to understand consequences. She's a beautiful bride in that, man, she is worth pursuing. And she is an honorable homemaker in that she orders our life so that we actually live the way that God intends for us to live. This is a wonderful book, isn't it? You see, if we come into Proverbs with these kinds of expectations, it changes the way that we read it. We don't come into the book of Proverbs and read all these Proverbs and go, man, this is just chaotic. Where are we going anyways? As we come into the book of Proverbs and we say, this guide, this bride, this homemaker, she is willing to spend time with me, teaching me the good and the beautiful and the honorable life. And when we live this way, we shouldn't be surprised when our lives are just a blessing to those that interact with it. And it draws others into this life. Because they go, I want the life you got. This life that you got is good. This life that you got is beautiful. This life that you have is honorable. Who doesn't want that life? And so not only is wisdom evangelizing us with the good news of what she has to offer, this garland of grace that is a public benefit, but that she spends time with us teaching us this curriculum that promotes a calling. Wisdom teaches us a curriculum, and she promotes a calling. So this book, I'm seeking to convince you that this book, it ends with the acknowledgement that there is public benefit that is brought. Now, the word that I'd like to exchange there is blessing, right? That this life of wisdom is a life of blessing. So this Lady Wisdom, she's teaching us a curriculum. And right here in the first 9 verses, you'll notice that the curriculum is for attaining wisdom and discipline, understanding, insight, a disciplined and prudent life. And what do these all lead to? They lead to a life that does what is right and just and fair. Then I want you to pay attention here to verse 4. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So here in verse 4, the Hebrew word is the pati, the simple ones, or the young ones. And so Lady Wisdom operates here as a motherly tutor to a young one, a simple one. Now, this is, I think, Proverbs has in its compilation, scholars argue about when it was finally compiled, like when everything was brought together and it's in the form that we now have it. One of those ways we have in King Hezekiah, he brought together these wise sayings and organized them. And in this regard, it is like a royal book. It is teaching a young king how to rule well, or how to rule as a blessing to those that he rules over. And so if you remember with Solomon, is that while he is coming into kingship, while he is young, he actually refers to himself when the Lord reveals himself in a vision or a dream and asks him, tells him, what do you want from me? And he says, I am a young child. How do I lead your people well? I need your wisdom. And so he is saying, Lord, I am like a petit. I'm like a simple one. I'm a young one who doesn't know how to lead your people with blessing. And so he asks for wisdom so that the Lord would teach him how to rule as king in a way that would bring blessing to the community. So as he leads, that he would lead as one who brings blessing to those that he rules over. This is one of the ways that we read Proverbs 31, right? So the language changes in Proverbs 31 And actually does in the first nine chapters as well, changes from Lady Wisdom to now this wife that we attach ourselves to. And so the impetus, if this is a royal book, which I think it was used as a royal book, as a royal book, it's to teach this future king what he's looking for that is good and beautiful and true, and to attach ourselves to that. And so Lady Wisdom is presented as a woman that the king is to say, that's what I'm looking for. That's a good man. That's a good woman. That's a beautiful lady. That's an honorable wife. I'm marrying her. Right, so we get, why is it at the end of the book? It's climactic. I mean, this future king is going, finally, I found what I'm looking for. Because if I get that, man, I've got a wife who will only bless me. This is wonderful. But not only that, is that if we marry ourselves, so to speak, to wisdom, that she will teach us how to lead or to rule, bringing blessing to those that we lead or we rule over, right? Don't we want that life? So we read that, we come to this book of Proverbs, and it intends to teach us not only the good and the beautiful and the honorable, but how to then demonstrate that in our role as leaders, as rulers. So who is it that you have leadership over that God intends to use you in order to bless? Now, this book also, some date it at as late as 600 BC, and even some later than that, after the exile. And so if it's at 600, the people of God go into exile in 597. And so right before they go into exile, God compiles through his people this book that will teach them the good and the beautiful and honorable life. And then they're going to go into exile. This is helpful for us too. Because sometimes we're in positions of leadership and we want to lead in a way that demonstrates blessing to the community that we're a part of. But friends, sometimes we're in exile, but God still provides a calling for us that whether we're in leadership or whether we're in exile, that God intends for us to live in such a way that brings blessing. So do you remember, we have memorized, many of us, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, right? We know this one? Right before that, before we get to 29:11, right before that, we're told that God is instructing the people, and he says this, seek the peace and prosperity to which I have carried you into exile. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. That's a calling. So it's not only a curriculum for a future king or leader in order to rule well, it's also a calling that when we are in exile, we still are intended to be a blessing to the community that we're a part of. And so if we say that we live in a time that is post-Christian, our call is not to get back into leadership so that then we can bless the world. It's that even in exile, we have this calling on our life to be a blessing to the community. And if that's the case, this book was given to them right as they're going into the exile. And say, the way I'm going to teach you how to be a blessing, how to live the good and the beautiful and honorable life right when you're in exile. So whether you like where you're at or you don't like where you're at, you can be a blessing if you will listen and pay attention to Lady Wisdom. Isn't that wonderful? So we come to this book, and this book, not only does it offer itself to us, it cries aloud to us. It tells us that, man, if you will listen to me, I'll be a garland of grace to you, that I will bless those around you because of what I teach you. Your life will be representative of living out the greatest good for all humankind, as Alfred Nobel would say. That this woman, this wisdom will teach us how to be good and beautiful and honorable, and that it teaches us whether we are in leadership or whether we are in exile, how to be a blessing. And then we get to big words here, the hermeneutical key for the book of Proverbs, right? The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, but fools despise wisdom and understanding, discipline. Proverbs 7, this fear of the Lord, by the way, you can read this one of two ways, and the easiest way to distinguish that is to say, whose fear is it? And the way that the Hebrew is presented is it could be like our fear of the Lord, but it could also be the Lord's fear. And I think we see both of these played out in the first, this is the first proverb, is verse 7 here. And so it's the kickoff for all of the proverbs that are to come. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let's tackle this in order. If it's our fear of the Lord, then there is a disciplined obedience that represent our life. Oh, I think I need, yeah, here you go. Ha! Disciplined obedience. And understand that a disciplined obedience for us means that I will obey Lady Wisdom even if I don't understand everything. I'm going to discipline myself in the way that wisdom is teaching, is instructing. So discipline. This is a big word in the book of Proverbs, discipline. I like what Ellen Davis says. She says that discipline is the most basic form of self-regard, for it is through discipline that one acquires a heart. Think about that for a second. Discipline is the most basic form of self-regard, for it is through discipline that one acquires a heart. So I think about this as far as like what I'm doing for my children or even what my parents did for me is they disciplined me in order to develop a heart in me for the right things, right? This is what we do in discipline. It's not just, right? I think this is true for us as parents. Discipline is not solely for the purpose of saying, you did that badly. You did wrong. But rather is to correct so that they don't choose the wrong, but we're seeking to discipline them to the right or to that which is good and beautiful and honorable. Yes? Right? We don't want to just teach our kids all the bad things, right? Is we long to discipline them so that they, when they do wrong, but to discipline them in a way that shows them the consequences of the wrong, but also to show them, if I can change the terminology, is the benefit of the right, or to acquire a heart. I like the consequence of this better than I like the consequence of that, right? That's wisdom, right? It's comparing two alternatives, right? You can choose this. You may not like the consequences. You can choose this, and you will experience not only blessing, but it'll be a blessing. The consequences of that are, generally speaking, better. And so these lifestyles are compared. And so we discipline in such a way that we go, man, I can see how good and beautiful and honorable that is. I want to choose that. We then acquire a heart for that. She goes on, I like this other quote that she shares. She says, obedience, so disciplined obedience, obedience is the anvil on which the Christian self is being forged and shaped and sometimes hammered into a thing of strength and beauty. In other words, it is this disciplined obedience that develops a person of blessing. And so when we listen to Lady Wisdom, the result is, on the other side of that, is one who brings public benefit, one who brings blessing. And then there's undisciplined freedom. She defines that there's a difference between scientia knowledge and sapiential knowledge. She says, this is Ellen Davis again, scientia knowledge is not inherently evil. However, it is problematic only in that abstract knowledge has no intrinsic relationship with goodness. So this is the relentless pursuit of knowledge without really unpacking the consequences of what it means to know that. That's sometimes not great. And if we look back throughout history, we would go, there's some times in history that scientia knowledge has not brought public blessing. Because it doesn't ask the question of whether me knowing this will result in that which is good and beautiful and honorable. Then she quotes Augustine here, and she says, sapientia knowledge is that true wisdom is such that no evil use can ever be made of it. Friends, we live in a time in which we really, our culturally, we long for this undisciplined freedom. I could do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and yet at the same time, we don't want the consequences of that. That's undisciplined freedom. My kids like to make up games. I know that when my kids make up games, that I will have to play referee at some point in time. And the reason is, if you make up a game, the natural inclination is you keep making up the game as you play it in order to benefit yourself. Right? And so undisciplined freedom does the same thing. It just keeps changing the boundaries. You know what makes games fun? Is the boundaries that they are set within. I love soccer. The trouble with soccer, if you have no lines, is that you look at the person that's in front of you and say, you know what's easier? It's easier for me to turn around and run the other way and make you catch me than it is to have to actually interact in this game. And so if there are no boundaries, then they just run every direction. Whoever's got the ball, they just run away from people. What boundaries do is say you've got to stay within these set parameters. And by the way, friends, that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it playable. So wisdom, what it does is wisdom sets up the boundaries, the good and beautiful and honorable boundaries of this life that bring blessing and say, live here. And when we do, we bring public benefit and blessing to the world in which we live because we're living in accordance in the way that God intends for us to live. And as we do, it brings blessing. You see, undisciplined freedom just runs wild. It keeps changing the game. You never can track it down. And it's ruthless. And Proverbs teaches us that it leads us to the grave even though we can't see it. Whoa. So God has given us these boundaries to live within that bring about blessing. And I need to finish up. I've been long today, but this is too good for you to not hear. Because I want you to read Proverbs. I mean, really read it. And this is my last slide. Is that wisdom evangelizes, so listen and pay attention. Listen and pay attention. Stay with this good guide. be with this beautiful bride, or be the beautiful bride. Allow this mentor to train you how to be a beautiful bride, that you live in this home that Lady Wisdom has built. And so we're listening. We're paying attention, because Lady Wisdom is teaching us a curriculum, but she's also promoting a calling. And so as we read Proverbs, friends, you will come across Proverbs that you go, yep, that's true. Man, I've experienced that in my life. And you say, thank you, Lord, that I know what that Proverbs means. And sometimes you come to a proverb and you go, I'm not quite sure I get that one. Stay there. That doesn't mean just read that one and don't read anything else until you understand it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying is stay there. Write it down somewhere. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it in a place where it will regularly remind you to say, you know, I don't quite get this one yet. Then just when you see it, say, Lord, I'd really like for you to teach me that one, because I don't understand it. But if you keep it in front of your face, then you will experience life, and life, friends, is observable. And at some point in time, the Holy Spirit will go, there it is. Did you see it? You go, now I get it. This is why Proverbs is this lifelong curriculum. You know, if there is a book that we would call the CEU unit of Scripture, Proverbs would be it. CEUs, by the way, are continuing education units. This is the continuing education book of Scripture. So you just come here and you say, hey, you know what? Keep teaching me. And last point here. This is why in verse 5, it says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So this means that the wise ones, they can continue to learn. Those that already have understanding, they can even get more guidance. So the start of Proverbs, and this is the continuing education unit, whether you are young and simple, or old and wise, or somewhere in between, this book is for you. Amen. Let it be so. Jesus, thank you for the endurance of this people. I've been long. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would receive this book as a gift from yourself, that we would dig into it, and that it would change us. I mean, change us, so that we have a vision of blessing, that our life would be a blessing. May it be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think we'll be able to celebrate this song better together if we stand. So I'm going to ask you to do that.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord.
Romans, Jesus, we go in your name. We ask that you'd make us a blessing this week. Teach us. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, allow me to share this blessing to you. Make it a habit to meditate on the goodness of God, to reflect on how Christ Jesus brought you near to himself through his death. Remember his faithfulness to lead you throughout your life. Let his trustworthiness lead you to determine to cling to his promises by the Holy Spirit's power. And listen to this, until he brings you home. Amen.